Gracious Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, not only while we are here in this space, but when we leave to be the ministers to the world. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in Matthew, the 4th chapter, the first 11 verses. Hear now the word of God. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus answered, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. This is the first Sunday in Lent, in this Lenten season. It's interesting to me that when we talk about the Sundays that occur during the Advent season, we call them the Sundays of Advent, because the Sundays are included in it. When we get to the season of Lent, those Sundays that fall in there are called the Sundays in Lent, because the 40 days of Lent do not include Sundays. Every single Sunday, we get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So for those of you who are fasting, are giving up something for Lent, just remember, you don't have to do it on Sundays. I don't know what you gave up, but don't give it up on Sundays. Don't do that. Our scripture, it talks about the devil, the tempter, Satan. I have come to know and realize and hear and have talked to many people throughout my ministry who say, "I don't believe there's a such thing as the devil. I don't believe that there is something like Satan." Apparently, they have not sat where I sit. The farther I get into my life as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the more I am around people, the more I am convinced that Satan is alive and well. Evil exists. And it shows its face, its form, in many, many different ways. I truly believe Satan is alive and well. I truly believe what John 10:10 says, where Jesus talks about the thief, and I believe he's talking about Satan. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life, and life to the fullest. Today we're talking about temptations. Temptations. Reverend Jeffrey Johnson said it this way, "Where man erects a house of prayer, the devil builds a chapel there. And 'twill be found on close examination, the devil has the larger congregation." Now, I said that at 8:45 and nobody laughed, and nobody's laughed this time. Apparently, y'all agree with that. It doesn't surprise you. But isn't that true? It's a strange thing in life that we all fall short. We all fall and we all are sinners, and sometimes in our lives we are far, far away from where Christ wants us to be. When we think about our scripture this morning, ironically, Jesus is ending his 40-day fast when we have the temptations, and we're just beginning our 40 days of the Lenten season. Those of us who live in this and understand this scripture, some people have come to say those temptations of Jesus were not really temptations. They really weren't hard for Jesus because Jesus is special. Jesus is divine. But these temptations are real. For Jesus, in our belief, is fully human and fully divine, and these temptations occurred and they are real in his life. And so what do we learn from these temptations? It's interesting that the first thing the tempter says to Jesus is, in this version of translation, he says, "If you are the Son of God." Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but the person who is a Greek scholar who taught me this in seminary said that there is a such thing as a, let me make sure I get this right, there's a directive mode in which what the Satan is saying is, since you are the King, the Son of God, since you are the Son of God. So Satan truly is admitting that Jesus is the Son of God, and these temptations that he is bringing before Jesus is to find out what kind of Messiah Jesus is going to be. That's what it's all about. What are you going to be? Jesus comes from this 40-day, 40-night wilderness experience. Now, when we think about the wilderness, some of us think, I'm going camping with the Boy Scouts over the weekend. We're going to go somewhere. We're going to be in our tents. We're going to be outside. We're going to have a great time out in nature. We're going to have fun. We're going to go swimming. We're going to go camping. We're going to go fishing. It's going to be great out there in nature away from all of you, or whomever they're trying to get away from. We look at it with a kind of an adventure, don't we? But that's not what it's all about. You see, this wilderness that they're going to really does look like those pictures. It's a wilderness. There are no trees. There are a lot of rocks. The interesting thing about all of this is that when we think about what took place in the third chapter, Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Scholars believe now down near the Dead Sea, down near Jericho. The Dead Sea is 1,300 feet below sea level. Jericho is about 850 feet below sea level. Jesus hears when he's coming out of the water, the clouds divide. God says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." I don't know about you, but if I was Jesus, I'd be on cloud nine. Wouldn't you? For those of us who always wanted to please their father, their dad, and your dad says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Emotionally, he's on a mountaintop. But when he's coming out of the water, he's 900 feet below sea level. And he goes into the wilderness, that wilderness. The wilderness doesn't mean the same thing for them. It means it's where the demonics live, demons live. There is danger, there is testing, there is trouble, there is all sorts of hard times in the midst of this wilderness. And he goes and fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, and we hear the echoes of Noah. We hear the echoes of Moses. And when he comes through, he hears the voice. He sees the tempter. "If you're the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread." Now, the thing I know, and everybody who went to the Holy Land or to Israel with me knows, there are a lot of rocks in Israel. It doesn't matter where you are, they are rocks. If Jesus had turned all those rocks into bread, the hunger problem in the world would go away. And Jesus says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, Jesus is saying, I didn't come to this earth to be served like David, like King Solomon, where every wish is my command. I didn't come that way. I came to be a servant and a servant to all. And then Satan takes him to the pinnacle of the temple and he says, jump off. God will catch you. Razzle and dazzle and do be that kind of Messiah and all the people will come to you. Come, just jump and your heel will not strike a stone. No, we're not supposed to put the Lord our God to the test. I'm not going to be a showboat kind of Messiah. And then he takes him to the highest of mountains. Now, it doesn't say where the highest of mountains is, and we didn't see this time when we were on the Sea of Galilee because it was windy, cold, and semi-raining. But the first time I went to the Holy Land, it was clear. And in the distance, you could see Mount Hermon. In the distance. Had snow on the mountain. Now, if you can imagine being 850 to 900 feet below sea level with the temptation, when you look at the Mount Hermon, it's 9,000 feet above sea level. Maybe Satan took Jesus there, and he looked around, and he saw all the kingdoms of the world and said, if you'll just bow down to me, you can have it all. You can have it all. You don't have to worry about anything. You can have it all, Jesus. You can have the kingdoms of the world. What he's really saying to him is, if you'll bow down to me, you don't have to worry about pain, suffering, crucifixion, denials, betrayals. You can be a different kind of Savior. And Jesus says, we're supposed to worship the Lord our God and only the Lord our God. Interestingly, when you read the Synoptic Gospels, we never see another example of Jesus being tempted. But I do like the way Luke finishes the temptation story. Luke says, and the devil left him for a more opportune time. What we find in the Gospels, that Jesus is continually tempted day in and day out, and day in and day out, to what kind of Messiah he is going to be. You see, he's tempted in the faces of the poor and the hungry who come to him for free bread. He sees the temptation of in the eyes and the faces of his family who come to try to take charge of him because Jesus is now an embarrassment to them to take control of him. They think he's crazy. We see the temptation in the faces of those extended disciples who in Mark we read that Jesus tells them, if you're going to be followers of mine, if you're going to be disciples of me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And they quit following him because the teaching was too hard. He sees it in his disciples as they wanted a different kind of Messiah, a David, a king, someone to drive out Rome. He sees it in denial and betrayal. And we see temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he prays, Lord, take this cup away from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. He's tempted. And it only gets stronger and stronger and stronger because he never gave in. Well, what does this mean for the church? Interestingly, I believe that these three temptations of Jesus are the three temptations that we, the church, the body of Christ, face every day. We're tempted to be served instead of serve. We are truly, things happen and we turn inward and we don't care about the people outside the church. We turn in and don't share the gospel. We don't share not only the living bread of God or the living water. We don't share anything. We're tempted as a church to razzle and dazzle and do the next biggest thing so that we can draw people for weird reasons to the church so that we do that. We're tempted. We also are tempted to worship the wrong God. And we sugarcoat the gospel to the point where it loses its effectiveness. You see, we want a Messiah like we want, and not a Messiah who is selfless, who's willing to give it all for others. So, how are we tempted and how well do we do? If Jesus is a certain kind of Messiah, what kind of Christian are we? Have y'all ever been tempted to do good? Have you? Have you ever, let's put it this way, have you ever had a thought that comes through your head and says, oh, there's somebody who needs some help getting their groceries in the car. I need to go help them. Oh no, I don't have time. Y'all ever had one of those thoughts? Have you ever walked into church and see somebody crying over in a corner and you think, oh, somebody needs to go say something to them, but I'm late for Sunday school. Have you? Somebody say amen. Please, wake up. I know it's only 10:53. But that's where we are, isn't it? We are tempted in our hearts. We have a good thought that comes into our mind, don't we? And then all of a sudden there's another thought that tempts us to not do it. Which one do we follow? You see, I believe the Holy Spirit tempts us every single day to do good, to bring light, to bring love, to bring healing into the lives of people we don't know. And too often in our hearts and our minds, that second thought comes by so quickly we don't even think about it. There are times we don't even think. Somebody will say something to us and anger will get the best of us, and before we have a chance to think, we react, don't we? Amen. I mean, don't we? I mean, sometimes somebody can let somebody pull in front of you. You're number one. I mean, that's who we are. For good and evil. It's not a question of thinking. We don't even think. And so what I want us to, I want to throw this up in the air. See if it sticks. Anytime you feel tempted, take a breath. For good evil or for evil. When you're tempted to say something mean or cruel because of a quick reaction, take a breath and do the opposite. When you're tempted to do something good for somebody, take a breath and do it. I'm convinced if we would take a breath and do what we're supposed to do, we would change the way we do things, not only here, but in our homes, where we work, and in our community. Because yes, every day we're tempted to do something that will make us less than who we're supposed to be, but every day we're tempted by the Holy Spirit trying to lead us, to guide us, to be more and more like Jesus, and we let that passing thought just disappear. And the person to whom we should have been nice to, good to, talked to, hugged, or whatever, goes without it. And then they long to see and feel the love of Christ in somebody else. We are called to be Christ to everybody. And that thought that the Holy Spirit puts into your head, you might be the only person who can minister to somebody who's hurting or to hear someone who needs an encouraging word. Brothers and sisters, let's make sure we listen to the temptations that we have, especially those that are good. Because when we do, we are listening to the Holy Spirit. Let's be just as obedient to the Holy Spirit as we are to the other tempter. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would never cease to tempt us. And may we always be willing, ready, to the best of our ability, to respond appropriately. Give us eyes to see those who hurt, those who need a hug, to have a good word. Help us to be all that you've created us to be. And help us take a breath, always, and then do what's right. Amen.